The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill.
Today's guest has worked as a beauty executive at some of the fastest growing prestige companies, including Smashbox, Kate Somerville, and Josie Maran Cosmetics. As a longtime eczema sufferer, she couldn't enjoy the best part of working in the beauty industry and saw this white space as an opportunity to create a brand to be inclusive of all skin tones, skin types, and more. Let's welcome Amy Liu onto Ready, Set, Spill. So everyone knows my love for Tower 28 began before I met Amy, who was the founder of Tower 28. I saw this spray. I think I was telling you when we got dinner that Hailey Bieber posted about. It was not an ad, and I knew it wasn't an ad because she was like a week out from launching Rode.
Totally.
And you would think that she would post about like her own skincare products. And so when she was like, when my skin is like acting up, or when I'm like, am having just like redness or pimples or rashes or this, like, this is what I use. And it was Tower 28. And then there was this barrier cream from the brand that I cannot pronounce, but I have
Avene,
it.
Avene. I don't know how to say it either.
Avenue or something. Yeah. I don't know.
It's French.
And so I ordered the Tower 28 spray, and I didn't do anything with it at first because, as everyone in this room knows besides you, I am a product hoarder. Like, I love products, beauty products, any product, anything that is a product, I probably have it. So it was just sitting on my top shelf and I didn't use it. And then all of a sudden, in like the second trimester of being pregnant, I got like an eczema patch on my face. Mm. And I don't have eczema. So I was like, what is going on? And my sister was like, spray the SOS spray. And I was like, no way. Like, I'm not going to listen to you. You don't know anything about skincare. Sorry, Jocelyn. But she probably does know a lot. I'm just being a bitch. And I sprayed it on my face. And I woke up the next day and it was gone. And I was like, no way.
Literally, people call it like magic water.
It is. But you know what I also love about it is you kind of feel like you jumped in like a summer pool after. Yeah. Like, it smells like summer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's
fragrance free. And what you're smelling is literally just, it's three ingredients. It's 100% natural. It's water, salt, and hypochlorous acid.
Okay, so explain the H word that I cannot pronounce and I'm not even going to try. It'd be fun to have me try that, but we're not going to do that today. Because every time someone asks me what it is, I try to explain it and I have to send a screenshot because I can't say the word. I'm like I don't know what it is.
It's okay.
It's a big word.
It's called hypochlorous acid. And hypochlorous acid is actually an ingredient that our bodies make in defense of anything it understands to be like angry or something like that. So for instance, if you have a cut or a wound, your body wants to heal itself. Your skin's job is to fight bacteria and to keep all the irritants out. And it, generally speaking, does that, right? Yeah. We actually do a lot of things to our bodies, whether it's sunburn, piercings, tattoos. We also get eczema, we get rosacea, we get all these different things, acne, and our body wants to heal itself. What this is really doing is it's helping two things. It's helping to, it's anti-inflammatory, so it's soothing and calming your skin, but then it's also antibacterial, so it's helping to fight the bacteria, and it creates an environment so your skin can heal itself.
I mean, it is magic. Like, I posted a before and after picture on my story, and my DMs went crazy. I only have, I think, like 28,000 followers, and I was like sitting in my chair in my room, like going through all the DMs trying to educate them because they were asking me so many questions. And then I posted, and then you reached out, and you're like, I see you love the SOS spray. Yeah. I was like, I think love is an understatement.
Oh my God, I love it.
We made a code and then all these people started buying it.
It's wild. Thank you, by the way, for the support. Because as you know, as an entrepreneur and as a starting out brand, it really makes such a difference when you have genuine love and people really are, you know, word of mouth, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, of course.
And even like you mentioned the Hailey Bieber thing, that was huge for us, as you can imagine. But like, we didn't even, not only was it organic, I didn't even gift her. I tried gifting her, but she hadn't followed us, so it wasn't even an option for us. But those types of moments of lift are huge for brands like ours.
So let's back it up, because you started Tower 28 at 40.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do before then? Because I've now realized, with having all of these podcast guests on Ready, Set, Spill, and even just like my own journey and talking through like what I did after college and the stepping stones I've taken to start Set, I realized the passion of what is at the heart of SET has always been in every single job that I've had.
For sure.
And I want people to hear like what you got into when you graduated and how you took the steps to start Tower 28 and what made you decide at the age of 40, I'm going to start my own business.
So starting from the beginning, and I would say just generally speaking, I've really struggled with not knowing what I wanted to do with my life. Like for the longest time, I think you hear these things about how people are like, oh, just follow your passion, just do, you know, that thing that you love. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
Even, which is most answers, by the way. Like most people don't know what their passion is.
I mean, it's nice to hear you say that because I feel like my best friend in college, the day I met her, wanted to be a doctor. All she did was get ready to be a doctor, and then she became a doctor. Today she's a doctor. Like,
well, I feel like there's I see it as like different buckets. Like you either know you want to be a lawyer, you know you want to be a doctor, you know you want to be a astronaut, like these definitive professions where there's a clear path to getting there. And you might know that, you know, early on, or you might figure it out later. But in terms of like being an entrepreneur, figuring out what field you want your career to be in, that is a different bucket. And you don't have to know that.
Totally. And I think I felt lost because I knew I wanted to do something entrepreneurial in the sense that, so I grew up having my mom was an auditor. And to be honest with you, I still don't even know what that means. Like she went to work at the same time every day, came home at the same time every day. She never talked about her job. And she did it, but she didn't seem to have like a real love for it.
Yeah.
Where my dad was an entrepreneur and he felt all of it, right? Like he was basically a general contractor and he did, you know, like condos and things like that. And we would go on vacation and stop at a hotel and he'd be looking at the elevators and he'd be paying attention to the furniture everywhere we went. And I saw how much he loved it. And something about that felt like, oh, I want to do that. I want my whole self to be involved in something and really just feel all the ups and downs of it. So I always had this idea that I wanted to do it, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know what the idea was. So I graduated from college. I started my career in consulting, which felt like a really safe thing to do because
consulting for what?
I was working for Accenture, which is one of the big five. So, you know, they say Ernst & Young, Accenture, Deloitte & Touche. Like,
you're speaking a different language. You don't know what I'm saying. I have no idea what you're saying. So I'm like sitting here pretending. I'm like nodding my head. I'm like, yeah, big five. Mm-hmm. Know exactly what that is.
So I went to undergrad at UCSD, and out of undergrad, I think a lot of these colleges, like especially when you study something really general like economics, there are people want to be investment bankers or they want to be in consulting coming out of college oftentimes because those jobs.
Consulting in what though?
So they call it management consulting.
But are we consulting about like what type of toilet paper to use? Are we consulting about
marketing? So it can be
marketing.
And that's why people want to do it is it's really broad, right? So while I was working at Accenture, I worked with Amgen. I worked for the state of New Mexico Child Welfare Support System. It's really broad. You could work for any type of company. And then what you're doing within that could be anything from like systems, like working on their like how they receive information and what they do with it. And a lot of it was programming for me. Other people, like my husband worked at McKinsey and Bain and those companies do much more like strategy. And then some people do organizational behavior. So there's so many different ways to do it. But it's basically think of any business that has a problem they're trying to solve, but the people in their existing business who do the daily operating work, it's outside of that. So they need somebody third party to come in and do it on a project basis and then go away. And the reason why a lot of people like doing this kind of work is because you do get exposure to so many different things. So if you are like me and you don't know what you want to do, you get to experience different industries, you get to experience different functionalities, but under the auspice of one job.
Oh, I'm like trying to follow. I'm like, what? I'm still like, can SET Active hire one of one of the big five?
Sure.
Okay.
You just have to pay for it. It's expensive.
It's like, how much are we talking?
I mean, I think when I was fresh out of college and I was making maybe like $45,000, I think I was getting billed out for $150 or $200.
And what would it entail? Would it be like, so what do you think we should do to market this product?
Anything.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. You can do anything.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Whole new world to me. I have no idea that existed.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Turns out if you want to pay people to do anything, they'll come and do it for you.
Well, I think I've learned that in certain areas of my life.
Yeah. But anyway, so I did consulting. Then I went on to, basically I went to business school because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then while I was at business school, I had what I called like my quarter life crisis. And I was like, what do I want to do? And I sat down with a counselor and I was like, okay, well, I like things that have to do with women. I wanted something tangible. I liked understanding the demographics of women and what they wanted, like the psychology around it. And so I decided I wanted to do beauty or fashion. And specifically, beauty felt like it was easier to understand because it was a little less, it's a little less subjective, right? It's not so trend-based.
It's so interesting. I feel like beauty is so hard to understand and fashion is like black and white for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's so, it's harder from a, there's sizes. I mean, so the way you have to deal with sizes and inventory is the way I have to deal with shades.
Right. Yeah. I so know. There, yeah.
There's a complexity in that and that.
But aren't there so many legalities when it comes to beauty? Like what happens if some, like, let's say I use, I'm not even going to say your brand because that'll never happen because of how great it is. But let's say we used Lindsay Carter Beauty Moisturizer and I broke out in a rash and had to go to the hospital and it's because of this moisturizer. Can I sue Lindsay Carter Moisturizer?
So the truth is you can sue anyone for anything.
Well, of course, right? Of course. But would I have a case?
So the beauty industry is riddled with issues. One of them being the fact that the beauty industry does not have regulation around it. So what I mean by that is you can launch a product. You can go to a beauty show today. You can pick something up off the shelf, put your name on it, and you can launch it. You can say whatever you want about it. You don't have to give anyone ingredients. You can do all these things. But if I wanted to just put it on the internet, there's no one really checking it. But you do, you are subject to people like the FDA and the FTC checking it on the back end. So the consumer is protected by the FDA and FTC, but not in a regulated way. It's more in a, if somebody calls you on it and tells them, then they could send a warning and something could happen. Could you, we all carry insurance, right? To make sure that these things, like what you're saying, the Lindsay Carter, whatever, like going to whatever. But I think that's also why it's so important for brands today, which, let me back up. I think the reason why that's important is because brands like ours that are carried by retailers, I think that becomes even more important because retailers force you in a good way to make sure that you have one, insurance, two, that the things that you're saying are not overstepping the boundaries of what the products actually do. They keep you honest in a different way. And then the, and they also certainly, like for us, we're clean at Sephora, we're clean at Credo. Like we have to adhere to guidelines about what we're putting in and not putting in our products.
Yeah.
So because it's such an unregulated industry, it helps to have retailers, it helps to have brands where you know who's running those brands and that they have a product philosophy that you jive with, because there's a lot of stuff that could kind of happen that's a little more gray.
I still stand firm on beauty being more difficult because I just, that in itself, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a lot of hoops.
It is from a compliance and regulatory, if you're doing it the right way,
it's
which
a lot of hoops.
We are, it is a lot of hoops. And it is really complicated, especially if you want to go international because the rules are different by different place.
And I also think when you're passionate about something, it's not, it probably seems black and white to you.
Yeah, like,
you know
I've
what
done.
I mean?
Yeah.
But okay, I definitely want to get to like super juicy details about business and Tower 28, but I want them to hear. So you chose beauty.
Yes. And to answer your question, all I've done is beauty since then.
Yes.
So I have done nothing but work in beauty since I was at USC for business school. I went to L'Oreal, then I went to Smashbox, then I went to Kate Somerville, then I went to Josie Maran. Then I took a few years off and I had my third child. I have three kids. And then I started Tower 28. And the reason I did it so late, I mean, frankly, I was just so gun shy. I was so afraid. I, as you know, it's expensive to live in LA. My husband and I both had good jobs and it's really hard. Those golden handcuffs are real, right? Like we didn't buy our first house until I was 39. So we had just bought a house and we had three kids. We were sending them to private school at the time. It's expensive to do all of those things. So to go from to not work and to not make that income and instead be spending it, because we also put money into the business, is really scary and hard. And I think I kept telling myself, if you look at my jobs, every job I got, the company got smaller, but my role got bigger. And so I felt like I was getting closer to having a seat at the table and really understanding what it was like, because I still had this dream of wanting to do it. It just never felt like I knew when the right point to leap was. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you ever...
Well, there's never a right time to
leap.
There
is no right time.
Yeah.
100%.
There's always going to be some sort of, like, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for.
An obstacle or a reason.
Or a stipulation. Like, totally. Starting a business so young, people aren't going to take you seriously. Yeah. Starting a business when you're too old, it's like, am I relevant? Is it too late?
Yeah.
There's always going to be something. There's never a right time to start.
But it's like having kids too, don't you think? Literally no right time. And I never thought it was easy. People always ask me, what's it like having three kids? I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't easy having one. It wasn't easy in heaven too. And it certainly isn't easy having three.
Yeah.
But it's also like your first time doing any of it. I have a 13-year-old now. And now I'm like, whoa, that shit's hard too.
It's all hard, but it's all worth it with kids.
Oh,
I mean,
100%.
I love being mom.
But like being a mom, being an entrepreneur is like, sometimes you just have to, like, if it's what you want, just do it.
Yeah.
The difference with being a mom is I don't know that the opportunity escapes you with age.
Yeah.
For being a mom. So you have to make time for it.
I feel like I want to take advantage of the fact that you told me that you're an open book and happy to share anything.
Go for it.
So I want to know, like, everyone always asks me what currently is the hardest part about being a CEO. And to my surprise, it's internal and it's managing my team.
I agree.
That is by far the hardest part of being a CEO.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
Yep.
What I was going to say for Tower 28, what is it?
It's 100% that. So I have a small team. There are 11 of us. We just hired someone else and they're starting next week. So there'll be 12. I think the hardest, and again, not to make it analogous to having kids again, but it is very similar, right? So right now I would say the hard thing is we've made this transition, right? From we had COVID and some of the people moved. And then we had certain policies that worked then. And then now these policies aren't working as much. And I gave this example to my team recently. I said, you know, these things have to evolve and change. And it's not dissimilar from, so I have two dishwashers in my house. And my 13-year-old and 11-year-old, for the longest time, it's like, this one owns this one and this one owns the other one. And you're in charge of keeping them clean and unloading them and everything. And all of a sudden they looked at me and they were like, this isn't fair anymore. The 7-year-old can do this. Because before she was too little, so we didn't ask her to do it. And I'm like, oh, wait, you're right. These things have to change sometimes. So
totally.
To go back to answer your question, I love my team. They're so great and they're so hardworking. And I always say this, you can pay people to do their job. You can't pay them to care. And I feel so lucky that I have a team that cares. That said, we just did this employee survey and there was a lot of like, well, is it fair that this person gets to do that? And because we have a few people remote and those types of things. And you're like, I want as much as possible to make it fair for people. But at the same time, I'm like, life's not fair.
We're going through the same thing. I have this one employee who she's an all-star. She really, mm-hmm. she makes set her own. And it's impressive to see when set isn't her own. She's our brand director, Leslie. She works day in and day out, and she came to us and she's like, there's not a day that goes by that I wouldn't trade my job for the world. I love this place. I love this team. I love this brand. I love the work we're doing. The list goes on. She's like, but I'm here at 9 a.m. and sometimes I'm here till 11 p.m. And it's hard when I'm not seeing that from other people. And I said, well, Leslie, we can't ask people to stay every single day like you till 11 p.m. Like, you know, you're making that choice, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I understand. But I also feel like at this day and age, like, give me one night where you're staying past five. Just one. So we had to have this whole talk, not because of Leslie, just in general, because honestly, she brought up great points. And I mean, Jake and I get into the office at, you know, 8:15.
Yeah.
Jake doesn't technically start till 9, but here he is waking up, making sure he's getting in the office with me because that's what time I want to be there.
Yeah.
And he's my assistant. So we had to have this whole talk about expectations. And I said to everybody at the table, I was like, you can wave your white flag. Like, if this is not if you don't want to be at a company where you have to work this hard,
yeah,
I get it.
Literally,
like, you don't have to be here.
And that's the same. I've had these conversations too, where I'm like, this isn't indentured servitude too. Like, we're paying you a salary. Like, and this is like, recently I had a conversation with an employee who I love, and she was like, I feel like the work-life balance isn't there. And I was like, I get it. Like, but what are you looking for? Is it because you're working too many hours? And she's
like, I feel like people need to know when they're coming to a startup company.
Yeah.
And a startup, by the way, the first 5 years are still considered infancy.
Totally.
So you're not out of the woods of being startup until like probably year seven, if that.
Yeah.
Like, you're still a startup. There's all these different definitions of it.
And there's pros and there's cons to it too, right? Like, my one job that I've had that was a big company really was L'Oreal. And like, I was, frankly, I mean, not to speak ill of them, but I was a little bored, right? Yeah. Like, because my job was so small. Where, yes, I think everyone gets to wear a lot of different hats in a small environment. And then it's like, when something breaks, then you have to go bring someone in. But yeah, that does mean that sometimes you have to, when it breaks, it feels hard.
Of course.
Right? It feels hard for the team. And I think my team knows I'm doing my best and I'm listening and I'm trying to change to what degree I can. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard. You're trying to also think about, like, my ability to give to my employees is predicated by the fact that we have to have money in the bank to do that too.
Yes, 100%. So
it's like, yes, would I love to be like, sure, everybody take time off, like this much time off or whatever it is. We have been doing unlimited PTO.
We tried that, didn't work. We took it away.
So now we're like, okay, because people are saying it's not fair, because is it okay that that person took that much time off and this person?
You said it perfectly in the beginning. You're like, as you grow, policies have to change because it's going to only work for a certain size group. We just had to, I didn't take it away, but I was this close because we implemented Summer Fridays for the first time.
We did too.
This summer, no one got their work done. No one hit their deadlines. And then they would move meetings back and back and back and back. I'm like, this deadline was yesterday.
Yeah.
Why are we moving this meeting again?
Yeah.
And they would say, well, I didn't have time. And I was like, well, then you shouldn't have left the office at 1 o'clock. So we're going to be doing Summer Fridays again. But if we don't hit deadlines, I've made it known a year in advance that I will be taking Summer Fridays back.
It's hard, but I think we're not the only ones going through it. I think the world has been in the situation where we came out of COVID and then, I mean, listen, I'm a lot older than you are. The world, as I understand it, was different growing up for work.
Well, yeah, right? It is like, very generational now. Like, there's actually, you know what? No, I take that back because we have someone in the office. Olivia, you're getting a shout out. She is, I don't even know how old she is, but she just graduated college. And she reminds me of like me when I was little. And not little, but like
younger.
Fresh out of college. And I mean, she just wants to learn. She's like, I want you to mentor me. I want Leslie to mentor me. I want to learn. She never makes the same mistake twice.
Yeah.
She just.
And that's all you can ask for.
And then I'm like, is it generational? Because then I have someone like her who's coming into the office and I'm like, well, she's, you know, the next generation. Yeah. And
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's generational or not, but I think the comparison thing that happens, like, oh, but this company gets to do this. I think there's a lot of that, but I guess that's.
But again, unless you're in the company, you don't know. It's like social media. It's all a highlight reel.
I mean, we interviewed someone from a competitor brand that is much bigger than us, and they're 100% remote. And I was interviewing this woman, and she was telling me that, yes, we get like, we're 100% remote. We don't have to go to the office, which to my girls, I'm sure would sound amazing. But then she's like, but the downside of it is there's 70 people that work here, and I only know 7 of them. And we've only like all caught up together in real life once, and we paid for it, is what she told me. She was like, listen, I don't feel like I have a connection to my coworkers.
Which is important.
Which is super important, where like I'm asking my team to come in 2 days a week. And I think, frankly, I think they enjoy it. But I also think that there's a flip side of it where it's like they also want the flexibility.
Totally.
And it's hard, right? Like, we work with, a physical product.
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
well, by the way, that we're also, you're in retailers, but you're also D2C. Mm-hmm. And when you're working with a physical product that's D2C, web shopping is open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
24/7.
Totally.
And you have to keep that ball rolling.
Totally.
But I'm just, it's like almost clicking for me now. The number one question, other than the other number one question I said that I get is like, how should I be considered to, like, work at set? I think for anyone, my best piece of advice is honestly sit down and ask yourself, like, a list of questions. Do you want to work in an office? Yes yeah. or no? If the answer is no, there you go. Don't go to the next step. Don't yeah. apply to that company. Do you want unlimited paid time off? Does this company offer that? Is the answer yes or no?
Yeah.
If it's no, don't apply.
Right.
But there's also so many other benefits that come with, like you said, working at a startup.
Oh, for sure.
And it's incredible to be a part of the growth of an incredible product to begin with.
And that's what I tell my team all the time. I'm like, I may not be able to give you all of the benefits that a really large company can, right? But the thing that I can promise you is, like, you'll have the opportunity to learn by doing. And on top of that, like, if I don't know the answer, I will find somebody
yeah.
who can help, right? Like, we can hire consultants, we can send you to a class, we can, you know, buy you a book, whatever you want to do.
Yeah,
but
totally.
I think there's so much information out there for someone who, like the girl you were talking about, is hungry and wants to learn. I think it's a great environment. Olivia, good job, Olivia.
Yeah, she always wants to learn. She's so great. Okay, I could talk about internal work hiccups for, like, years. But what is your favorite Tower 28 product? And don't say Make Waves just because it's new and you want to market it. Like, what really is your favorite Tower 28 product?
I mean, it's a little bit boring, but, like, SOS, I would say, is my favorite in the sense that literally until I had that product and I started using it, I have never had my skin be so consistent. And that's just a true statement that I wouldn't be able to say it if it wasn't true. Like, I've had eczema my entire adult life, and I was, like, topical, oral steroids, all the things. Not until I started really using that product consistently. It's not to say I never get eczema anymore, but when I do, it never gets to the point that it I need all those yeah. other things anymore.
Okay, so, what's your second favorite? Because that's an obvious.
So right now, I would say, honestly, it is Make Waves. Like, I am...
Boring.
Have you tried our blush?
Have I tried your blush? My favorite Tower 28 product, you're not even asking me, and I'm going to tell it to you anyways, is the clear, dewy thing.
Super Dew is an unsung hero. I love that product.
It really is, though, because if my skin is looking dull, or if it's, like, dry that day, or I just, like, am feeling a little ghostly, I literally take two fingers and I just put it in, like, my T-zone, and all of a sudden I'm glowing.
And it's good for your skin, actually, too. And here's a fun fact. I made that product because I used to be obsessed with Elizabeth Arden's 8-Hour Cream. Do you know that product?
No, but I'm going to Elizabeth Arden's 8-Hour Cream.
The thing I loved about it is that it was so multi-purpose. It was this product that you could, like, a lot of makeup artists were using it for, like, a hack. They would put it in their eyebrows, you know, as a, like, a little thing, or they would put it on your cuticles to make it.
Is it kind of like the Kate Somerville hand firming lotion, where, like, you can put the excess on your face because it's like...
Oh, I guess. I used to work there and I don't even know about that product.
It's new, I think. I don't know. I got it off Sephora as, like, new page.
I love that you're such a product junkie.
Yeah,
no, it is, like, but I wanted something like that, but that wasn't petroleum paste, that was a bit more, you know, quote unquote, good for you.
Okay, well,
but I do also love Magic Hour. I'm a blush person. I'm a potentially over blusher, but I love blush, and Magic Hour is just, like, the perfect shade.
How has the TikTok scene done for your products? Like, what has it done for your
brand? There's nothing else, right? Like, that's not true. Instagram has been pretty amazing for us in general in terms of, like, creating a community and talking to people. But I think TikTok, the virility that you can get on TikTok is, I don't know that there's anything else quite like it. We have really started to gift more people on TikTok too. And I think it's hard to measure because we haven't started doing that much advertising, but we have started doing more content, or, like, creating content as well as gifting. And I think that's been huge. Like, for instance, to your point about Make Waves mascara that we just launched, we've posted, I actually thought this was genius, so shout out to Danny on my team who did it, but we had this video of our product developer, and she, you know, she is looking in the camera and she starts putting it on. She's waiting for it. And then she starts putting it on. And then Danny fast forwarded it to the end where you see. So you very quickly see her before and her after. And people were commenting, like, oh, I wish it wasn't cut like that. How do I know it's real? And so then Danny replied to it with another piece of content that was just the same content, but sped up instead of being cut in the middle. Uh-huh. So you know that it was the same product being put on the whole time. And I think that type of conversation that you can have with a customer as a proof point, and like literally in that moment, like historically you watch a commercial and you think something and you're like, it just doesn't go anywhere. But now you can have a conversation with the brand and be like, oh wait, that didn't happen. And they're like, actually, boom, it did.
Yeah. That is so crazy. How long does it take for you to like think of a product and then develop it?
Oh my God, so long.
Okay.
It takes so, I don't know how long it takes to make.
So what's clothes. Something that you're currently developing that you can share? Because I'm going to make you share it.
I mean, I love how you spill a little early on things.
Let me preface something. So yes, the podcast is growing. Yes, I have listeners, but it's not like I have like 20,000 people listening. Like this is very exclusive club that that's listening to this podcast.
Okay.
They're probably going to keep your secret Ready, Set, Spill.
All right. Then I'm just going to go ahead. We are working on concealers. It won't happen until next year.
Next year.
But we just.
And what's going to make it so special?
So all of our products are made to be safe for sensitive skin. We're the only makeup brand that 100% adheres to the National Eczema Association's Seal of Acceptance Guidelines. So like off the bat, like the thing I always want people to know is that we think so deeply about making, about what is not in our products and what is in our products in terms of the ingredients so that people just feel safe. And I think that's especially useful information when you're talking about a lot of people are concealing not just their under eyes, but they're concealing a zit. They're concealing eczema or something where you have like a broken skin barrier. And if that's the case, I think you should be a little bit more careful about what you're putting on your skin. So that, and also just that this formula is delicious. Like we are, again, oversharing. We're making it in Italy, which is, I mean, not the preference of my supply chain team, because it is more complicated to make things abroad like that. And then you have to all the freight and everything, but it is such a good formula. And in general, like, I don't know if you're familiar with our price points, but we're what I'd like to call like an accessible price point in prestige. So we're at Sephora, but our lip gloss, for instance, is $15 instead of being 20, whatever. Uh-huh. And the reason we can do that is because I always try to spend as much money as I feel like I need to on the formula. And then I try to spend less money if I can on the packaging.
Okay.
And we don't do, so like if you look at our packaging, I think it's cute, but it's fairly simple, right? It's not like, I'm not like Rihanna who gets to own like, what is that, the octagon or hexagon, whatever that shape is, right? Yeah. Because she's doing bespoke packaging, right? And she's owning the molds and doing those types of things. We're not doing that. So because we do more simple packaging, we can spend more money. I mean, we're making our products in the same places that probably all your favorite brands are.
I honestly think, I mean, no hate to Rihanna. Love her. She's like my, I'm obsessed with her.
And she's done an amazing job as a businesswoman too.
Amazing job. I'm obsessed with her. But I feel like when it comes, I've always preached this and I'll preach it probably for forever, that with product, simple is better because it makes it less overwhelming.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't know if that's a hot take. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I think the thing that I will only not differ with you on is that I do think that these industries that we're both in have never been more competitive than they ever. Like currently, there has never been more competition in beauty. I'm sure also in fashion.
So I do think that simple is better, in my opinion.
So, I mean, Grant, I hope so, too. That's kind of what we're going with. But I do think it is harder than ever for a brand to stand out than it was because there is so much in the world.
But that's why I think you have to go simple.
Yeah.
You just said it right there.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay. So before I go into my next question, which has to do with what you just spilled, this other question, I guess, has to do with it too. So yes, I am a product junkie. I'm a product whore. I have it all. Like my makeup drawer is, you could get lost in it. With concealer though, for as many YouTube videos as I've watched, for as many times I've gotten my makeup done and have talked to makeup artists, concealer is just so confusing to me because the color you are under your eyes
is different
versus getting like your acne scars on your chin are two different colors. I don't think you can use the same concealer for both areas.
Well, and then trying if you are a darker person. So like that is even more complicated.
Yeah,
because the color you are on your forehead and basically the high points of your face. So like your nose, your cheeks, like all of that is darker than it is the other parts.
Right.
So it is. It's complicated.
It's so complicated.
I would argue most makeup artists, because I'm friends with a lot of celebrity makeup artists, most makeup artists would tell you that you actually need two concealers.
Yes. So Alexis Oakley, who mainly does my makeup for big events.
Yeah, love her.
Unless she's booked, then I have like my list of other great girls that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
But Alexis Oakley does my makeup the most, I would say. And the other day, she's doing my makeup for some event, and I finally was like, I don't know why I've never asked you this, but like, how many concealers do you use on my face? And she's like, I use two.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, two different brands, two different shades. And she's like, no, I use the same brand, two different shades, because you are not the same color all over. And
almost nobody is.
I know, but you see all these YouTube videos or TikTok videos of people doing their makeup step by step, and they're using one concealer. And I'm like, bitch, how are you doing that?
I think because people are also bronzing, contouring.
And you're not seeing, maybe they're not blushing.
Well, but they're, if you're doing one color everywhere, then you're using something else to kind of balance
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm such a like no makeup makeup girl that I think I just had to now just have two concealers with me because I don't really use foundation.
Yeah.
You don't need it. I just am lazy.
Yeah. I get it.
I'm lazy, especially like being pregnant. I'm always like, today's going to be the day I put a cute outfit on. And I'm like, yeah, it didn't happen. I also don't fit into anything right now.
It's okay. It's a moment in time. And then one day you'll be like, oh, almost forget what it feels like.
I know. You're so right. But I'm hanging on to the first trimester when
I looked. Doesn't it make you respect your body more? I always felt like that. Like it made me feel like, wow, my body can create life. Like it's pretty cool.
So yes and no. I feel like, I think it's really cool that like I look at Ace and I'm like, you grew inside of me. Like, I think that it's
wait
like
till he's 13.
It's yes, that is cool. I will say, and it's an inner mental working thing I need to maybe spend some time doing. But like, I have stretch marks right now. I didn't have them with Ace, but I have them pretty badly right now with her. Maybe because I'm bigger this time around. I don't understand the whole like, let me post a photo. I respect the people that do. Like, if you can post your stomach with stretch marks and show the world what you just put your body through to create life, that is some confidence.
Yeah.
I know we started this conversation. You're like, you seem so confident in this. No, no. I am not putting a photo of what's happening on my stomach up on Instagram right now. I do not have that confidence.
Yeah.
And so my answer is like yes and no. I like think it's so epic that I'm creating life, and my mini best friend literally came out of me and soon to be like my other one.
Yeah.
But what is happening externally, I've never felt uglier in my life.
It's so hard. And again, I to me, what I love about beauty and making makeup is that you actually get to make someone feel more beautiful. I think the way that you walk through the world is a little bit different. If you have like a cute outfit on, you feel like a little bit cuter, or like whatever it is. And in some ways, it's unfortunate that the way our society has been created is that this feeling of aspiration has to be met. But it's just true, right? If my skin's more clear, like I walk through the world a little bit different and a little more confidently.
Yeah.
But I do think that's why, like, you know, there are days in my career I've certainly said, like, guys, we are not, like, curing cancer here. And the work that we're doing is, like, let's not stress out so much. But I always also say, like, we don't also have to give anyone cancer, right? Like, we don't have to, like, put terrible ingredients in the products. And on top of that, I actually do think that the work that both of us are doing is really important in the sense that it makes people feel good about themselves and it makes them happy.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I still, to this day, since day one of starting Set till now, I still get DMs saying, like, my product changed their life or whatnot. Yeah. But
I'm wearing your cute outfit right now.
I know. You always look so cute in it.
And I feel like, and it makes you feel a little more put together. And it's still comfortable.
I remember when I first met you for dinner and you were wearing a cute outfit too. By the way, you guys, I set up this dinner with Amy. I was so excited. Allie was coming and Allie was like, let's go somewhere cool. Let's go somewhere new. Let's go somewhere fun. I'm like, okay. You just said this restaurant you went to with your friend was like great vibes. Like, let's do it. So she gets us a reservation. Allie and I get there first. And first of all, it's in like tourist town USA of Beverly Hills, California. Like, I don't ever go to this area of Beverly Hills because it's known for being
touristy.
And I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna judge. It's new. It's, you know, I'm not gonna judge. Then we go up the stairs and it's all people over the age of 65.
Oh my gosh, maybe even older.
Maybe even older.
I might be generous.
Maybe we're just coming to dinner in a weird time. I don't know. I'm still not questioning anything. I'm going with the flow because I'm trying to try new things. This is why I don't try new things. We get to the top and I'm looking around. And I feel like I'm in an old person's home.
It's great. It made me feel like I was so hip.
I know, but it's like, I didn't know how cool and chill and collected you'd be, but I was like, Allie was snort laughing. She was like, this is not how it was when I came with my friend. I didn't even come into the restaurant. Like, you can't blame me for this. I'm like, I'm mortified. And then you walk in and we were all laughing about it, but it made for a fun, like, you know, dinner intro. But okay. Something that I think I want to talk about that I haven't talked about yet on the podcast is how a company like yours, who's in Sephora, you're in retailers, you're D2C, et cetera, et cetera. You guys only tease when a launch is about to come.
Yeah.
Like you tease something. Meanwhile, Spilling Sally over here spills everything.
Yeah.
I cannot keep a secret to save my life.
I love it.
However, if we're in a friendship and you're like, I swear to God, if you ever tell anyone... I will not, because I'll like feel guilt and I'll be like, no, I'm going to keep that in. She said, I can't say anything. Yeah. Like she verbally said, I cannot say anything.
Right.
When it comes to set, I'm spilling secrets here, left, right, up, down. It's coming out everywhere.
Ready,
like,
ready, set, spill.
I don't know. Ready, set, spill. But it's also ready, set, see everything we're doing on Lindsay's Instagram because I get too excited and I can't keep it in.
Yeah.
And I, for the past year and a half, it's played into the way we do our marketing and the BTS. And now I'm starting to see brands that are even friends of mine, like start copying BTS on social media or on TikTok. Or like I started a new series on TikTok of filming our fit meetings. Mm-hmm. And it's a great teaser to see what's coming. You're not going to really get to see the final product till we shoot the campaign for it, but you can at least get the skeleton of what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And now all these people are like posting BTS of fit meetings on TikTok. I'm like, go off, sister. I don't know what to tell you.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
That's what I keep telling myself. How do you think both marketing initiatives work?
So we actually did take inspiration from you in a certain recently. So
I didn't notice if
so with this recent Make Waves mascara launch, I think you do such a great job of like really making your community feel like they are influencers themselves. And I saw that you were gifting, you're like, get added to our PR list.
Yes.
Basically something like that. So when we were kind of starting to tease the whole thing, we said to people, we were like, get on the wait list and we will pick 28 people from the wait list to receive our PR mailer.
That was a Business of Fashion, I think, or Business Journal article that came out that I took a spin on and was like, this is how I'm going to implement that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it inspired you. I cannot take credit for it.
Yeah. But I think that in general, one thing that I think you do really well that I am inspired by is that I think in this next generation, I think influence in general becomes more democratized. And so everyone is an influencer to some degree. And by that, I mean that in a great way. Like in a word of mouth is really important. And I think the fact that you do such a great job with your community and making them feel bolstered and like they're part of it and bringing them on the journey, I think that's really important.
I think it's the most. I've been doing it since the inception of set. I started documenting on my personal Instagram back when I think I only had maybe 2,000 followers, the process of starting a business. And I was selling my samples on there. I was like, anyone who wants to try it, I'd give it to you just if you gave me feedback.
But I think that's what's made what you do so special, because I think also when I look at your TikTok and your content, I think people who are also budding entrepreneurs, which a lot of people are, they're learning about business.
Yeah,
right. Totally. So I think they're getting more out of it than just the product, right? Yeah. But they're understanding like everything that went into it.
I really do think that there is going to be a huge shift. I think that there's something different between like celebrity influencer marketing and content creators, because content creators, I think, are some of the most creative people I've ever come across.
And that's work too.
And it's work. There's one, she's an influencer and she's become famous because of her content, but she worked in the beauty industry. She's now a great friend of mine. She has her own business that she's doing, Neats on Raider. I'm sure you've heard of her. If you haven't, you should gift her, because she's amazing.
Yeah.
But she's the perfect example of content creation an innovation. She was like, I was in a rut, and she came out with this like Cult Gaia content creation shoot. And so they think that the way everything is shifting and that celebrity influencer marketing is dying, people are not really focusing on these huge collabs anymore, yeah, but really on community.
Totally.
Because community is the new influencer.
Well, and here's another take on this, which I'm wondering what you think, is I feel like I actually treat my team a lot like they're the influencers.
Well, yeah, I've branded, not branded, but people are like,
people know who people on your team are.
Yeah, I've branded this thing, Abigail, who is our production manager at set. We go live almost every day on my personal Instagram. And one day I was just being silly and I'm like, it's the Lindsay and Abby show. And now it's like a jingle.
And it is.
When we go live, they start saying, it's the Lindsay and Abby show.
So cute.
And so the people who are fine being on camera, I love showing them on Instagram.
For sure.
And I think it's so helpful. It adds a human element to the brand.
It adds, and people want to know the people behind the brand and
yeah,
who's working on these things. And so we actually, I mean, our version of that is we do a lot of, Danny on my team does a great job of creating this, like, she's our creative designer. And so she'll do the, like, how it came from design and, like, snap your fingers and here's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And we do those kinds of things. But even, like, we do corporate retreats every year because
yeah,
of the fact that we're kind of in a hybrid model.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess that's my version of a brand trip, honestly. Like, I'm bringing everybody together and giving them, we make merch for the event. We, like, you know what I mean? It's very
yeah,
similar to
yeah,
what a brand trip is in some ways.
I just think the whole climate of influencer marketing and throwing millions of dollars at these dinners celebrating collaborations and this and that, I don't think is going to be what it is next year. I really,
yeah,
I'm calling it now. I think it's going to change a lot. We're working on our first community collaboration for next year. In fact, you know, we have our core collection, mm-hmm, which is different in fashion. It's something you can buy all year
yeah,
long, whatever. But we're introducing a community collection, which is completely picked by the community.
I love that.
They put that together.
Yeah.
I mean, Tower 28 could do something like that. Like, you know, you could take your best products by the community and put it in a bundle and they get a special price for it.
That's actually a great idea.
Yeah, I mean,
might take that.
You can take it. Oh, I, if I'm on a creative wavelength, today seems like a creative day for me. I won't stop. I'm probably going to be texting you after this podcast.
Oh, I love
like,
it.
You should do this. You should do that. I texted my friend.
We literally, by the way, chose our poster because you chose our poster for the Make Waves launch. Do you remember this? We were
yes,
like, I had like five of them and like,
I knew in 2 seconds what
I was
to do.
So overwhelmed because sometimes you're looking at something too much.
Yes.
And literally Alex on my team, who's obsessed with you, was like, just ask Lindsay.
And I think you texted me and I was.
You were immediate. And I was like, guys, that's the answer.
I knew in 2 seconds because I don't know. But I texted a friend an idea and I still think someone should do it. So if you can adapt it to you, I think it could be really cool.
Tell me.
I'd have to think how it would adapt to beauty. And I'm so sorry, Keaton, if you're listening to this. I love you so much. You didn't seem excited about my idea, but I still think it's epic. So I'm going to talk to Amy and see if she can adapt it to Tower 28. But basically, she has this company called Twin Flames.
Okay.
It's like sweats and other products, hats and mm-hmm, things like that. They do drops. And it's all about, she started with her best friend, who she says is her twin flame. But like anyone can be your twin flame. It could be your partner, your friend,
yeah,
your dog, whatever you want it to be. And saw on the Discover page this girl and this other girl get a manicure together. And it was the most gorgeous manicure I've ever seen. And on the middle finger of one girl was half a butterfly wing. And it was so gorgeous.
Oh,
I was
cute.
Like, that is epic. The other girl had the other half of the butterfly wing.
Cute.
And so when they put the butterflies together,
yeah,
it was like...
Like a best friend.
Yeah, uh-huh, like a best friend thing. So I said to Keaton, I was like, you should do the You Complete Me collection. Where it's like the back of a sweatshirt is like half a butterfly. A half a butterfly is still such a gorgeous, gorgeous illustration. And then you can twin flame with your best friend or whoever
it
might be.
Especially for that brand, that's cute.
There are ways I can make this transform into a beauty thing. You just wait. Just give me an hour and
yeah,
I will text you an idea.
Tell me.
But I was like, you should do a You Complete Me collection. It could be butterflies, anything that can be completed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you can... It's customer acquisition because you probably have to get your
yeah,
friend or your partner
or
to
it's
also
a gift.
Yes. Anyways.
I love it. I'm still waiting for the Tower 28 set, Baywatch, SOS,
oh,
something we're going to do.
I know. I know. Trust me. I'm the one who said this is what we should
yeah,
do at the dinner. So I understand. But when Leslie walks into your office and she goes, I love you guys, I'm at capacity.
Yeah. Then you listen.
You have to listen.
You have to listen. And that's the thing, is we started this conversation talking about how hard it is. But I think your team is the heartbeat of your business, too. So it's like when things break, you have to listen.
Yeah. And if you push and you push and you push, then they'll break and leave.
Yes.
And that's not what you want.
No. So. And I think it's the other thing that's hard, which I think I've been so lucky with, is just people nowadays don't stay at jobs as long as they used to.
Yeah.
And I think I've been really lucky that I've had the same team for this long.
Yeah.
So I'm cognizant of that.
Totally.
And I don't want them to leave. I don't want them to be unhappy.
Yeah. Totally. My ADD took us literally left, right, up and down and anywhere in between. But I do think that what was said is going to be really cool for people to hear. And again, I say this all the time, but I feel like you're someone I'd want to do a part two with, to like really dive into Aww. The making of a business. So if you guys want to hear that, make sure you leave a review on this podcast so that we know if you want a part two. But what is one piece of advice that you want to leave with the Ready, Set, Spill listeners?
The one that I've been thinking about a lot lately personally is just, have you ever read the book, The Four Agreements?
I don't read.
Okay, I've got it. There's a book, it's a very short book called The Four Agreements, and one of them...
Maybe I'll read it in labor. Jake, let's look into that.
Oh, you have it? Yeah. It's such a good book. One of the agreements, they're basically lessons.
I'm writing it down.
It's pretty simple. The one that resonates with me the most is don't take things personally. And in my life, I feel like I have at different points taken things very personally when they weren't meant to be. And I think it could clear up a lot of things if you just didn't. I think it's rarely ever about you. It's really about like the situation that person's going through or whatever. And maybe...
Unless they're leaving comments on your TikTok that you need to relax on the lip filler and you're 8 months pregnant.
But even that, don't you think that's because of they're having something going on? Do you know what I mean?
Diane and Allie, we always talk about this, like mean people on the internet or anyone mean in general is a them problem.
We had someone yesterday who came at me guns blazing. First, she asked me for free product or like in the whatever, our customer service girl on engagement was like, oh, she has like 131 followers.
Does she even have a profile picture?
And she has 5 posts. And, you know, it just didn't even, I didn't even know if it was a real person. And we were basically like, yeah, we're a small business. We can't gift. She wanted like full size product. She had a list that she asked for. And she basically was like, you're not giving me this product because you're racist. All these went after us.
Yeah.
And it was paragraphs. And my team was like, should we just gift her? And there's a part of me that was like, oh shit. But then also you're like, you have to be like, oh, well, why is she saying that? Like, she probably has had people be incredibly racist to her in her life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just a fact.
Totally.
Right? And but at the same time, like me taking it personally doesn't really help things.
In the early days when we were 11 people on the team and we would get comments like that or long messages, I would step in and be like, can I have your phone number? I'll talk to you personally on the phone. And they were not the same person on the phone than they were behind the screen.
Totally.
They were nice.
And that's
they
the
were
same
respectful.
Thing it I was, said. I was like, do you want to talk? Let's have a one-on-one conversation about this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can't gift everybody. It's not about race.
Won't be able to sustain a business if you gift everyone for free.
Totally. And so I think it is like if you can come at it from a don't take it personally, but instead like have some compassion for the person on the other side. Because my first instinct was to almost be like, that's not true. I'm offended.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let me tell you all the things that I do to promote like BIPOC communities. That was my first cut at it. But like, that's the wrong thing.
Well, you get defensive and it's like you take it. I think that's perfect advice. I think it's something I need to like put on my computer because I take everything personally. But before we actually sign off, so you spilled that you're going to be releasing a concealer.
My team's going to be like, what did you say?
Okay, well, then they're really going to hate this idea because I do think that it's something really cool that you can do that I haven't seen a beauty brand do.
Tell me.
So you're releasing a concealer. It's out in the open. You heard it here first on Ready, Set, Spill. I think you should create a series that's maybe you can do it once a month, quarterly, once a week, where you're actually showing the process of anytime you're putting attention to this concealer, you're documenting that BTS and have it be a highlight reel on your social media.
Hmm.
So people can see the development of this concealer.
The making of,
whatever you want to call it. And they can watch the process from start to finish. How many times did it come back and you weren't happy with the formula? I don't know what stage you're at, but it'll make your customers really feel
part
invested in the process.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to want to try the end result after watching everything.
Yeah. I mean, we've already done a lot of the rejecting for a long time.
So you can say, like, let us catch you up to speed on what you've missed now that we've released it, and then catch them up to speed on what they've missed, where you're at now, and then have them watch the finishing part of it.
That's a good point.
I'll tune in. Yeah. You only need me. I'm just kidding.
I love it.
If people want to follow what's going on, where can they find you?
So our handle as a business is Tower28 Beauty on everything, whether it is Instagram, TikTok, etc. And then mine personally is Amy Liu, AMYLIU underscore T28.
Can you say that again?
Amy, AMYLIU underscore T28.
Okay, let's try to work on that.
Yeah. I post almost never. So I am like literally the opposite of you. It's funny because I am socially pretty extroverted in person, but like online, I don't really post or do anything.
We are so opposite.
So we're like the opposite. Yeah.
Well, you're
like, I'm happy to grab dinner with you. I'm happy to do all of the in-person things.
Yeah.
But I almost never post anything.
Interesting.
I only repost things other people.
So we are each other's twin flames.
I know.
Sounds like.
We should.
Okay. Matching butterfly manicures?
Yeah.
Okay. It was so fun having you on here.
Fun.
I'm so glad we made it work. I'm so excited for the concealer. Also, if you guys don't know this, Make Waves, the mascara, just launched. The little like applicator, the brush that you put on your eyelashes, like, is bendy. It like bends like waves in the ocean. And it actually gets every hair of your eyelash, and it's clean, and you should get it.
And it's vegan, which is actually pretty hard to find.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yay.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.